like you're mine. Will I feel like you're mine? And I see in your face I'm not wrong to have these feelings. I feel like you're mine. I've never known a time before that's had so many meanings. Could it be forever? Am I just a waste of time? I don't think so, 'cause you let me know you make me feel like you're mine. Will I feel like you're mine? And I can't remember when the feelings have been stronger. And all I know is I can't let go. I wanna be with you, wanna be with you just a little while longer. Forever, was my mind just rambling on? Maybe it is, and if it is, then I'll be moving on. Will I feel like you're mine? And I see in your face I'm not wrong. I have these feelings. I feel like you're mine. I've never known a time before. So many
the return of, well, still a heartthrob. Still a heartthrob. No, that's me. I was talking about me.
Really?
Yeah. But also
stay self-delusional.
Yeah. David Cassidy is here. And David Cassidy. Could it be forever?
Oh. Steve Wright. Well, my Lord.
Now, listen, how
things
are you?
Things have changed since you've been in Reading.
Well, now, I should explain that right. David Cassidy came in from Heathrow. This was 1976. So it was the first ever interview I did on radio. Mm. And was the nicest, put me at my ease,
there we are.
Made it okay.
Not big time. Oh, what a good
not big
was.
Time at all. Well, slightly big time. Little slightly, big time, yeah. Once the interview was done, he rushed off.
And your name is?
Yeah, your name is. And who are you again? That's right. What can I tell you about David Cassidy? David got his first start on the TV series The Partridge Family.
Oh, yes.
Where he portrayed the singing teen heartthrob Keith Partridge. The show featured... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to deliver it in that style.
Singing heartthrob.
Yeah. Featured a family travelling around the country, and they were in that coach.
Uh-huh. That was a bus, school
that
bus.
That was a bus, yeah. It was great.
Multicoloured school bus.
Bus, yeah. And that bus is an iconic figure in itself.
Is it in a museum now, the bus?
The Smithsonian, I think.
Is it really? Seriously?
It should be. The lunchbox is. I think the bus was a little too big to put in there.
Oh, Tim was saying something. What happened to the gorgeous girl that was your sister?
Oh, Susan Day.
Yeah, what happened to her?
We don't know.
You don't know?
No one's seen or talked with her in quite some time.
Because she did L.A. Law really successfully for a while and then disappeared, didn't she?
Yeah. Honestly, I don't know. Yeah. I haven't seen her in well over 10 years. And I talked to Danny, I talked to Shirley and Dave Madden, who played Ruben and Ed. None of them have seen her.
This is a real strange thing, talking about Danny Bonaducci, and I don't know if we've mentioned this on the air yet.
Oh,
and we'll get to the album, by the way, and your life
yes,
in a second.
Indeed. But why I'm here.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, don't worry about that.
No, no.
Every night, if you flick through the sky, every single night, there's a show about Danny Bonaducci, who played your brother in it, right?
Right, he played my younger red-haired brother.
Yeah. And
but not his chat show.
No, it's not his chat show. He's being interviewed by a guy, kind of typical American interviewer, and then it's the same interview every night.
They're running it. It's a bogus chat show, though.
Yeah, it's a bogus chat show, and I guess there must be a product at the end of it for us to buy, but I can't fathom out what it is.
It's obviously well produced.
And Danny Bonaducci is telling the story about how he was a child star, but he's doing it every night. It's the same thing. I don't understand.
That's him. He's just a one-note guy. That's his whole life story in one half hour.
But he turned out to be a damn good talk show host himself and good on radio
as
well.
He's great at radio. Yeah, in fact, I did his show about 2 weeks ago. I was in L.A., and he and I, every year or so, he comes, he sometimes opens for me, and does 15, 20 minutes of stand-up, and he's a good guy. His wife is fantastic, and they've got two kids, and he's straightened his life out, but he had a terrible time for a long while.
But he's out of all that now.
He's out of that. Yeah, no, he's doing well.
Okay, so once you've done the Partridge Family.
Yes.
And it's well documented, and we've spoken about this before. You know, you had a bit of a dabble with all kinds of things that you shouldn't have dabbled with. And you had a little bit of depression. You had a bit of this and had a bit of that.
My dad died. My manager died.
Yes.
It was all of that. It was dark.
So when did it turn around for you to get where you are now?
About 45 minutes ago, I'd say. Somewhere in the last hour as I was sitting in traffic on my way here.
Come on.
No. Honestly, the last 15 years have been truly the best of my life by far. But I think probably when I began working again in the theater and I came over here and did time and then I went and did Blood Brothers for a year on Broadway. And
you did that effects thing as well, didn't you?
I did that after I did about a couple of years doing Blood Brothers and a year in New York on Broadway and a year in the national tour. I came over and did it for about 3 months over here and then did a stint of about 4 months in Toronto. And then I wrote and produced The Rat Pack Is Back, which became a big hit. And then did At the Copa at the Rio. So I was in Vegas for 6 years. And the last 2 years I've been out. Well, I had the Then and Now album that did
great.
Top five here and went platinum. And I got a new CD out called A Touch of Blue.
Nicely brought round. That was very nice.
Thank you very much,
Steve.
That's
great.
I've been doing this a long time, Steve, as you know.
Yeah. All right, what track should we play? Because it is a great album and it's sung in your style. It's clearly you, isn't it?
Yeah. I had a hit back in the early days when I was still with the Partridge Family with Breaking Up Is Hard to Do. And I played Wembley, I think it was 73. And Neil Sedaka, who wrote the song, was actually in the audience and saw one of the shows. And I had rearranged the song. So the first half of it was really slow and bluesy. And he heard me do it. He went back in and took it and re-recorded it and had a huge hit with it again. And I've now just gotten around to recording it for the first time like that. And I think, you know, a lot of my fans that bought the original record and loved the up-tempo version, I should hope by now would be mature enough to like this version.
Here it comes. Breaking Up Is Hard to Do. Look, it's David Cassidy. We'll be right back in just a moment. Don't move, Marcel. Just stay there. You can't go anywhere, friend.
Girl, there's just no living without you. Don't take your love away from me. Don't you leave my heart in misery. If you go, then I'll be blue. 'Cause breaking up is hard to do. When you held me tight and you kissed me all through the night, think of all that we've been through. 'Cause breaking up is hard to do. They say that breaking up is hard to do. Now I know that it's true. Don't say that this is the end. Instead of breaking up, I wish that we were making up. Start anew, 'cause breaking up is hard to do. Breaking up is so very hard to do.
That's David. David Cassidy breaking up is hard to do. And I remember, yes, of course, Neil Sedaka re-recorded it, had it out in that style, and now you've done it in that style, but in your style.
Yeah, well, brilliant. Thanks.
It's good. I bought the original because the original came in a picture cover with the family and the bus on it. The bus, I believe, was on... No, seriously.
Yeah, no, I believe that, but you were seven. You know,
sadly, I was about 12.
He bought it for his girlfriend.
Oh, God, yeah, not for me.
No, of course not. It's funny when guys now that come and they're like, well, begrudgingly, it wasn't cool.
Yeah,
wasn't cool
is,
to like any, you know, major heartthrob.
It wasn't. But the thing is, and I was saying to you earlier today, we all wanted to be you.
Yeah.
You were Californian, you had longish hair, was never allowed long hair, you got all the girls, and the scenes of Heathrow Airport, we wanted to be
you. And you were cool, and probably are cool. You're just cool.
No, I am. I'm just so cool. Steve, mine.
You seem to be. And that's what we all wanted to be. But, you know, as we've spoken before, and I know you hate getting into those conversations where you're looking back on how terrible it was.
No, it wasn't terrible at all. It was fantastic.
But the pressure did get to you after a few years.
Well, working 7 days a week. Think about it. I started when I was 19, 20 years old. When most guys, at least in America, are going to college and they're in fraternities and they're out doing fraternity parties, getting drunk and, you know, like Animal House. Mm. I was working from 6 o'clock in the morning. I get up, get to the studio at 7:30, work till 7 o'clock at night, and at 7:30, I would have to go over the hill to Hollywood and start recording every single night, both for the Partridge Family and for me, David Cassidy.
Yeah.
So on the weekends, I'd be out doing concerts. I was literally working 18 hours a day, 7 days a week. And, you know, after 5 years of that, it takes a little bit of a toll on you.
So what age would you have been?
20 to 24 or 5.
Right. So, 25. I mean, you probably didn't know where you were half the time.
Well, I didn't because I was constantly being shuffled from the back of a boot. It was insane.
And presumably impossible to have relationships during that
period.
Well, how do you do it?
When? Where?
Yeah.
What time would you like to meet? For coffee? During lunch hour, I'm on the phone doing interviews or I'm taking photos or... It was insane.
But you know, when you do concerts now, you don't get those people with the blue hair show up, do you?
Oh, no. I'm not there yet. No. In fact, a lot of the fans...
It's not that old.
No, I just wondered.
It's not old.
That
it's not
old.
That old. No.
Who comes to see you?
You're not by any chance English.
No,
are you,
I'm
babe?
Not. No. I'm from L.A. Who comes to see you these days?
Well, I mean, obviously a lot of the fans that have been my fans and been so supportive for... Stop laughing.
I'm 30 years.
And many of them have kids and their kids have heard all the CDs and in America because I've done so much more work there and I did 2,700 shows in Vegas alone in a 6-year period.
Do you think of yourself now as kind of Mr. Vegas, Mr. Entrepreneur, Mr. Broadway?
No, none of that. I think of myself more like a throwback to Bobby Darin, who was an actor, a record producer, a writer, a singer, an entertainer. Well, the truth of the matter is I love to play more than anything else. And in fact, I'm coming over here probably to do my last quote-unquote tour.
Last ever?
I never say never, but to tour now is so difficult because, A, I have a family. I have a son who's 12, and I do so much work in America. It used to be easy to come over and spend 2 days, and you had the whole country. Mm. There were two radio stations, other than your one in Reading.
Nicely put.
There were
Thanks.
Four television stations, one pop show called Top of the Pops, and that was it. At one point, they wouldn't even have me at the BBC. They had me come off the plane. I sang Daydreamer on the tarmac. And went back on the plane and flew back to L.A.
You know why? That's because you caused too much havoc.
Yeah, I did.
You come here to Broadcasting House.
Yeah.
The whole of the West End was full up with girls.
Yeah, and it still is, only now it's for you. What happened to me? Anyway, I'm probably not going to come back and do another... Well, not that I'm not going to come back and maybe play the odd show or do something like that, but I'm coming back in April. I start in Glasgow, I think, on the 24th of April. And we do a couple of weeks. And I play as many venues and dates as I can play in that period of time possible.
You were one of those artists and are one of those artists that guys also like. Mm. And do you know why? Because we think you're a good singer and also we liked the songs.
Yeah, the songs are great.
The songs are great. Could It Be Forever is a great, great song, isn't it?
How Can I Be Sure?
How Can I Be Sure? Just great songs sung well.
One of those nights.
You know, timeless kind of songs. And most people will want me to ask you this finally. How come you look so good? I mean, it's not surgery, I don't think.
It's not... No surgery.
Creams, what is it? Creams.
I pack it in ice every night.
What, your face?
Yes. I sleep in an ice pack.
What do you think he was talking about? Please.
I thought it must be the face.
Yeah, exactly.
David Cassidy's new album, A Touch of Blue, is out now. It was released on Monday. Good luck with it. Nice to see you. See you again soon.
God bless. Thanks, guys.
David Cassidy. David Cassidy. Excellent. Top man.
I'm sleeping and right in the middle of a good dream. I fall at once, I wake up from something that keeps knocking at my brain. Before I go insane, I hold my pillow to my head and spring up in my bed, screaming out the words I dread. I think I love you.
I think I love you.
This morning I woke up with this feeling I didn't know how to deal with, and so I just decided to myself I'd hide it to myself and never talk about it. And didn't I go and shout it when you walked into the room?
I think I love you.
I think I love you. Isn't that what life is made of? Though it worries me to say that I never felt this way. Up against, I know what it's all about. I got so much to think about.
Hey, I think I love you. So what am I so afraid of? I'm afraid that I'm not sure of. I love there is no cure for.
Well, I think I love you. Isn't that what life is made of? Though it worries me to say I never felt this way.
Believe me, you really don't have to worry. I only wanna make you happy. And if you say, hey, go away, I will. But I think better still, I'd better stay around and love you. Do you think I have a case? Let me ask it to your face.
Do you think you love me?
What think?